sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule this earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
All right, good evening. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for that it's complete and that it gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, that there's no mysteries, there's no wondering, Lord. There's only reading and praying and being guided by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I thank you that you've given us each other, Lord, that we could sharpen each other like iron sharpens iron, and we could give the word to each other, words of encouragement and wisdom and knowledge, and that your Holy Spirit is bringing to our remembrance everything it is that you want us to remember and to remind others, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you've reminded me this past 4 weeks here, and Lord, for what you've brought out for tonight. Thank you for that, and I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to remember the things that we've already heard before in your word, but just those things that we need to be continually reminded of. And I pray, Lord, for people here, Lord, if this is the first time they're hearing it, Lord, that you'd give their, that you'd open their eyes by your Holy Spirit, that they'd be able to see what's being taught, that they'd be able to hear it for what it is. And Lord, for those of us who have already heard this before, Lord, that you would just bring to our remembrance everything, Lord, from your word, and that it would just stay in our hearts, Lord, that we'd be able to keep it there, and that we'd be able to grow thereby. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your forgiveness of sins, and Lord, that we can just dust ourselves back off and get back up and get right back to it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless the teaching tonight and bless communion, and just thank you for your word again. People would leave here tonight more on fire, more convicted, more committed, or more submitted, more in love with you than when they came here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We are doing a financial stewardship course here. It's going on for another 2 weeks here, and it's been good. It's been a lot of stuff that people who have been through premarital training with our pastor have already gone through and already know. It's Larry Burkett teaching. I've got a lot of people in the course who are unmarried and haven't gone through it yet. And actually, you know, my wife and I were married when we moved up here, so we hadn't been through it yet either. We'd gone through stuff like Dave Ramsey and financial peace and stuff like that, if you're familiar with the way he teaches money management. And that was really helpful in the beginning of our marriage because we literally knew nothing. We came from, you know, backgrounds that, you know, our parents, you know, didn't necessarily teach us like all the finer points of like, you know, keeping a budget and, you know, staying on track and things like that. But what I like about this Larry Burkett teaching is it's much more about the heart than it is about the head, right? So there's a lot of head knowledge you can take, a lot of like tips and tricks and how to build, you know, a budget and how to, you know, stick to it and, you know, how, what debt to pay off first and all this stuff is like, it's like in the realm of tips and tricks. Larry Burkett's study is much more about if your heart isn't right, then A, you may not stick to a budget, but B, more importantly, when you acquire that money, like, are you changing the world with it or is it changing you? And so if you don't have the heart right, if you don't have the foundation right, like, why is God even blessing you with more than you need? Why are you, you know, accumulating more and more? What's it all for? You know, that sort of thing is where this class really gets into it deep. And so, you know, I look at, you know, the stuff that Dave Ramsey teaches and stuff that Larry Burkett teaches at the very end, which is more like the how-to as like really secondary to, you know, if your heart is in the right place, it's like our pastor always says, right? I'd rather have the right heart than the right facts, right? Because if I have the right facts but the wrong heart, you know, that's essentially what the Pharisees were, right? But if you have the right heart, well, the facts you can change in an instant. So that's been great. But, you know, essentially, like, the Bible has a lot to say on money. But the way I boil it down is, look, you know, it's not super complicated. Don't be lazy and give money. Right? Don't be lazy and give. Like, if you want to really boil it down to something really simple. Now, there's, like, the particulars that you can get into, but, like, really what it comes down to is, hey, he who doesn't work shouldn't eat, right? So, you know, and in the Proverbs, it talks about, you know, when I walk by the place of the lazy man, you know, I walk by his wall and I see it's just covered with thorns. I see everything's kind of broken down, like, you know, a little rest, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and your poverty comes on you like an armed man, right? And so the Bible warns us about that. It also warns us about, hey, like, if you have more than what you need, well, maybe that's there for your brother who is in need. We're all to be blessing each other. Some are blessing each other with the physical things, with money, with capital. Some people are blessed with that. Other people are blessed with other gifts, talents, gifts, and abilities, right? So if you've been through interns or if you are going through interns, you've done this study of what are my gifts? What are my talents? What are my abilities? What are my acquired skills? And what are the things that the Holy Spirit has given me? And what are the things that I was kind of born with? And what are you doing with those things to bless the body, right? And to further the mission, the Great Commission, right? So we reach, teach, mend, and send here. And how do we do that? As a body with all these different talents, abilities, and gifts that are in this room. Giving is a command. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 here. Lay up not for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light is of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, or some of your translations probably read good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor yet for your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore take no thought of the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's another scripture. I'll turn there real quick. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. So we have the words of Jesus there, but also we've got Paul saying here more directly, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, verse 17, actually, I'll start there. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Instruct them what? That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So that communicate in the King James, that's an old King James term. It's like when he talks about your good communication, he means your distributing, right? Or it can also mean your behavior, right? Your conversation can be your behavior as well. So this is more of a word of like, hey, they're to be giving, they're to be distributing, they're to be taking from the riches that they have and being ready to distribute and willing to give them out, essentially. Okay, so you say, well, he's talking to the rich. I'm not rich. Well, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. Okay, verse 13. I forgot the one. Distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. Okay, so, and he says earlier here in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. So, you know, there's other verses we could go into, but, you know, it's a command of Scripture that we're to be willing to give to each other. And one of the things that we walk through in this financial stewardship course is that God has given us the stewardship over the things that we have, right? Each one of us is like one of those servants that in Jesus's parable where the master hands out talents to each of them, talent being a measure of money, and then leaves. And they go to work investing the talents. And when he comes back, he holds them all to account. And one of them after the other, both of the first two make a return on the master's investment. That's what we are. That's what we are like. We have been given the money and the job and the resources and the talents, abilities, and gifts and the time that we have because we're going to be giving account of that one day before God. And so, you know, each of us needs to be thinking about, you know, how can I bless the body? And this is something I was impressing upon the people in this course, but also just on myself, really, and just reminding myself of the things that I've already read but have forgotten, that I need to be thinking about how can I be a blessing to the other people in this body and not overlook them, in their problems, in their needs, in the things that they're falling short of, whether it's money or whether it's anything really. You know, what I love about the structure that Pastor Chick has put around a lot of these ministries is, you know, things like this are already covered in a sense, right? The home fellowship groups, if you join a home fellowship, we are actively encouraging people in the home fellowships to be open and honest and transparent about things that they lack, that they need. And so if you ever go to our pastor and you're like, hey, I have this need, the first question is going to be, well, what's your home fellowship doing about it? Right? So we have, you know, we have squads of people that are ready to help out in small groups, right? And then there's the larger kind of body here as well. So, you know, he's already thought of this on a couple of different levels, but just me personally thinking like, am I overlooking people? You know, just having that attitude in my heart of like, be mindful for, you know, the needs of others. But one of the things I had talked to the group about, because it's mostly younger people in this group, is how many of you, and if you're in the course, you don't need to raise your hand, right? But how many of you believe it's an obstacle to you being able to give? Again, not just monetarily, but you being able to give because of your youth, because of your, you know, you're just starting out in the world. You probably don't have a job that pays very well. You've got bills. Maybe you've got, you know, if you've made, you know, the trek through, you know, four-year vacation, and you've got those bills from college, then, you know, you're starting on the back foot financially. So, how many of them, I asked them, how many of you can't tithe? And this isn't a teaching about tithing. That'll be the last I mention of it here, but like, just ask them a question. Like, do you feel like because of your position, oh, I'm just not going to give because I don't have much, right? Other people are supposed to be looking at me and giving me stuff, right? Okay. But remember the woman in the temple when Jesus went there with the disciples and he pointed her out, there were all these people throwing their money into the coffers. And, you know, he said, you know, don't be like these hypocrites who are blowing the trumpets. And then this woman comes and she's got two pennies to her name. She drops them both in and she gave more than everybody, right? So she gave. So whatever circumstance you're in, you're not too pre-rich to contribute to the body of Christ. I had an experience early on in my Christian walk. I became a believer right before college and had nothing. And, you know, everything I had was being spent on college. And, you know, God gives you tests when you're young in the faith. You know, there's certain things that the enemy kind of comes in and, like, you know, tries to poke at you in certain ways. And there's a lot of tests that I've failed early on. But one of the things that he, like, put in my path very early on, and I'm not saying the Lord was tempting me, but, like, this, it was just funny how this, like, happened. I was working at another church. And I was on staff and, again, like using all that money on college. And I met this person from Zimbabwe. And over in Africa, the Protestant churches, you know, this was over 20 years ago, but they were really good. They were really conservative and they really, like, believed and stuck to the Bible. And they, like, you know, would butt heads with the people over here who are like, you know, United Methodist over there is like, you know, hardcore, you know, conservative Baptist here, right? Or even like Calvary Chapel here, right? That's, you know, the Protestant mainline denominations over in Africa are like that. And so, or they were. And so he came here to the States and went and found a United Methodist Church, which is where I was working at. And we started talking and, I came to realize that not many people in the church had a real relationship with the Lord. I mean, I don't know that for sure. That's up to, you know, that's between them and God. But like when you inspected the fruit, it just felt like I didn't have real close fellowship with anyone there except this guy. And so, you know, we would hang out together a lot. And, you know, one day he said he was going to Africa to visit his cousins. And he was asking for support from people in the church. And I was like, well, you know, I want to help. Like, I have nothing. But I was able to, like, you know, we were, my wife and I, we weren't married yet, but we were kind of going through this Dave Ramsey stuff that I mentioned earlier, trying to figure out, like, how our finances were going to come together. And, you know, one of the things that he teaches you right away is, like, be able and ready to, like, scrounge up $1,000, you know, on very short notice. Like, can you do it within a month, right? And so I was like, I think I can do this. And so I was able to, like, you know, do certain things, and I sold a few things, and I collected $1,000 and I gave it to the guy. And he ended up making the trek over to Zimbabwe and, you know, called me and thanked me for it. And then he came back stateside and we caught up. And, you know, I was kind of hoping he would give me like a lot more details on like what went on over there, but he was like super quiet on like everything that had happened. And, I had never been over to the guy's house before. So I knew he was staying at somebody in the church had like an open house. He was staying there. And so I just went over there one day when I didn't have class. And I showed up at like, you know, 11 o'clock or whatever. I'm like knocking on the door and I can't see anybody, but I can see that there's like this giant television and huge speakers. So back then it was like, you know, like if you were young, maybe you bought gaming, you know, computers, or you bought like an Xbox or whatever. But if like older, you know, people who weren't like who are too old for kind of video games or whatever, that's what you did. Like you would buy like, you know, a really nice speaker system or a really big TV. You know, the flat screens back then, they cost a lot of money, especially if they're like a plasma TV. So I'm like knocking on the door and I'm like, he's got to be here. He shows up, eventually opens the door. I'm like, didn't confront him, but getting this really weird vibe. So I think, you know, I don't think more of it. And, you know, a week later he says, hey, I'm going back to Africa, but this time I need $2,500. And I'm trying to like raise $10,000 from people in the church. And, you know, people, it's been really tough. You know, people aren't quite as giving since they already helped me go. So I don't know, whatever you can do, man. And I was like, look, man, I don't know, you know, what's going on, but you know what? I'll pray for you. And, you know, I don't think I ever heard from the guy again. So, you know, he, I don't know if he went back to Zimbabwe and stayed there or if he just found a different church to grift from, but, the point is like, it didn't matter. You know, I was young and my skull was full of mush, right? Like I didn't know better. You know, and maybe people who are savvier at that age would have caught on earlier. But, I think at the end of the day, like, I think God blinded my eyes because he wanted me to have the opportunity, right? Even if it went to nothing, it was still like, but you know, you don't have anything and you were willing to give something. You know what I mean? So like, even though it was a bad situation, it was good that came out of it that like, yes, Lord, I was willing to give even though I literally like, you know, don't have, you know, $2 in my wallet. The point is, like, nobody's too poor to contribute. And even if you don't have any money to give, even if you're the one who's, like, humbly asking, you have other things, right? Every person, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have at least one gifting from the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what that is, that's cool. We can help you discover what that is. You know, so you can talk to me, you can talk to our pastor, you can look to join interns when the next window to join that opens up and really like get into, you know, what do I think my gifts and my abilities and my talents are. And one way to do that is you just test it out. Go do something. Oh, I think I might be called to do sound. I think like I'm really good with, you know, managing a system, you know, and I don't know, whatever that gifting might look like. But you try that out. You're terrible at it. Well, hey, now you know that that is not your gift, right? And so, you know, just get out there and try new things. But the point is, that's one obstacle that I think you can just toss, right? Nobody is too poor. The other one that shows up as an obstacle is, well, I have obligations. I have a lot of obligations, right? Like, I'm not making no money. I have a decent job, but I have like all these kids and they have sports and they have, you know, we've got this vacation plan and all. I mean, but you can even go further with it. Like, well, the point is there's a lot on everyone's plate, right? You know, if you, like there's not very many people. Okay. So as an example, I think I've said this before, but I work in finance. So like the people who are above me, like tend to be pretty well paid. And one of these guys was talking to me, this was like 10 years ago or something. And he's like, you know, I know he's making more than me. And it's a dual income family too. So his wife works and she's a teacher at a public school. And so in the summer, she's not working. And he's like, man, summer comes and she gets it off. Like, it gets really tight around our house. I'm like, how? Like, you have one kid and two people and you're like, I didn't understand like how it could be tight. But the thing is, like, you know, if you're on that hedonic treadmill where you get a little more money, you're like, okay, now we can spend a little more money. And then you get a little more money, you're like, okay, now I can spend. And pretty soon you get used to it. And you don't get any more pleasure from it. It just becomes the way you live, right? And you get used to it. So that can be an obstacle, looking at everything you spend money on. I had a conversation with somebody before I started this financial stewardship course. I was praying about it and praying about what to do. And I called up somebody and I'm like, hey, you know, I know that you have a decent job, but I also know it's not like, you know, you're like rolling in dough. And I know you got a lot on your plate. I just want to hear, how do you spend this money? Like, you know, can you just like help me understand? Like, I'm not going to reveal any details or anything, but like, what comes in and what goes out and how do you make it work? And like, after that phone call, just thinking like, man, like, you know, this person probably makes half of what I do and they make it work just fine. And they don't even think about that as an issue. Right. And here I am like, how do I feel full when I should be like, you know, overflowing? Like, it made me think like, you know, Jim, you've probably let too much come in. You know, when you get those raises and you let things just stretch out a little bit more and a little bit more, like, you can rein that back a little bit and probably not be any less happy. And so it makes me think about a couple of examples. There was a person, well, actually let's read the scripture first. Matthew chapter 17. Before I jump into this example, it'll make more sense if we read the scripture. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. So Jesus, traveling around with his disciples, when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, so the tax collectors, the guys that Matthew used to hang out with, they came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And then he went to go ask. I said, yes, Jesus, do we? When he came into the house, Jesus stopped him, saying, what do you think, Simon? Of whom did the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Strangers? Jesus says to him, then the children are free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go into the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened its mouth, you shall find a piece of money. that take and give to them for me and for you. All right. So one point he makes here is like, hey, you know, we're the children of God. Like, we're free. We're free of the debt. You know, and this was future fact here that he was stating, but Jesus was going to pay that debt on our behalf, right? But the children are free. You can take that too far if you stop there. I don't know who in here remembers Kent Hovind, Dr. Dino, the guy from, it was really big like in the early 2000s and late 90s. I ran into him right when I became a believer, and he did these teachings on how you should believe the Bible and what the Bible says about creation versus what they teach in school. And, you know, this was really compelling to me. Like, I just ate the stuff up. We went to see the guy when he was in Chicago. And he just, like, he does a really good job at this. But he also, because he reads the Bible, because he read our Constitution, and he looked at the income tax laws as, why am I paying this? This is unconstitutional. You are reaching in my pocket without the authority to do so. You got your wires crossed. And so he chose to not pay. Look, I am a 501c3. This is a ministry. Plus, you don't have any right to take income tax anyway. I'm not going to pay you anything. And he died on that hill, right? So they went after him. I mean, you know, you can mess with other people's money, but you mess with the government's money, they're going to find a way to come after you. And so they went after him. Dude went to jail. Had a prison ministry for years. And, you know, a lot of people, like, look at his ministry now as like a, well, I don't know about now. I don't follow him anymore. But, you know, back then it was like, oh, like Kent Hovind, we can write off everything he's ever said. Like, just ignore it, you know? Like, that was the argument that you let the enemy make because you wanted to fight over income tax. But Jesus was smarter than that, more scriptural than that. He's like, look, the children are free. But because we're not going to offend anyone, we are not going to make anyone stumble, we have more important things to think about than whether the income tax is right or not. You know, go pay it. And Peter's like, well, with what? Oh, you know, you go fishing, the first fish you find, open its mouth, that coin, that'll pay for both of us. I mean, talk about like just ridiculous, but like ways of like God bringing about what people need. It makes me think of my own, like, so at the end of my college, I didn't have any prospects. I didn't have any idea where I was going to go, what I was going to do. I was like, I'm going to be married, or I was married by the last year I was in college. I'm married now. Like, I have no idea how we're going to make money. And how do people normally do this? Well, I suppose they get like amazing grades and then they go pitch themselves to people. But I didn't know where to start, right? So I'm getting like C's and D's in probably half of my classes. But there's this one professor that I really liked. I took every class he taught. And not only that, like I tried hard in his class, but I also like, I would have weird things happen. Like I would be like talking with a guy at the cafeteria and I'd be like talking about this guy's course. And he'd be like, oh yeah, I took that last year. Hey, have you run into this problem yet? I'm like, no, what's that? And he's like, well, you have to write this essay, but everyone always forgets this piece. So don't forget that. I was like, oh, okay. And so like, he literally like during this exam, he like asked people like point blank what the answers are, like in front of the whole class. Like, what's the answer number 5? What's the answer number 7? You know, and like me and another guy I tipped off who was my friend were the only ones in the class who got the answer right. And for whatever reason, like that seemed to impress the guy. And so he said, hey, you should sign up for this job. And he just like literally like, I'm drowning. I have no idea where I'm going after this. I know that I'm $90,000 in debt. And he hands me a job application, literally just hands it to me. He's like, fill this out. And it's somewhere in Minneapolis. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll move to Minneapolis. You know, live there for a year and then go back to Iowa. And he hands it to me. I fill it out and I send it in. And we're outside of class one day and we're all just sitting there talking. And he's like, you know, sitting there with a coffee and a cigarette, and he's like, "You get good grades?" I was like, "No." I'm like a C student. He's like, "Oh, I told them you were like the smartest kid in class." So like he lied on my behalf to the recruiter. And like when they talked to me, like I'd already had the interview at that point, but they were like, "You're in," you know? So I got into my first job, like totally convoluted, but it was the Lord, right? And so like God can provide for your needs. Like we were just reading in Matthew chapter 6, like you don't have to worry about that stuff. It's already taken care of, you know? And maybe if you're going through a period of time where you don't feel like you have enough, maybe this is the Lord giving you an opportunity to actually step out in faith and believe that he is going to provide for your every need, because he literally said so right here in Matthew 6. So yes, even if you have a lot of obligations, even if you don't have a lot of money, you know, what's the third obstacle that people can have? Well, Larry Burkett has like a whole section in his book on this. It's like, people want more money because they want to be safe. They want to accumulate dollars because it makes them feel more secure, or makes their wives feel more secure. If we had a bigger house, if we had, I'm not saying this is my wife or me, but like, you know, just the examples of like, if we had, you know, a bigger retirement fund, if we had more of a cushion for like, you know, savings, or if we could buy a new car or whatever it might be, just to feel more secure. Oh, I'm finally driving something that isn't going to break down. Oh, my roof has finally been fixed. All of this stuff. And so you accumulate assets, and I can't give anything away because I'm going to need that later. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Proverbs 11, verse 28. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? I have so much stuff, I have nowhere to put it. He said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build bigger barns, and there I will put all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. Is God actually calling someone a fool directly? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And one more scripture, Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I am old, I've been young and old, I've seen it all. I have not seen the righteous or their children going hungry. You know, there's so many examples, but you know, we don't have time to get into them all. But I just think about like all the different recessions and depressions and crashes and tough periods through our nation's history, and in every one of those situations, you know, there were people who were, you know, depending on what they had to kind of carry them to the end. And you know, there's another proverb, we don't have to turn there, I don't remember the reference, but another proverb about like, hey, does the crown endure to all generations? So make sure your backup plan is intact, right? It says, you know, make sure, be sure of your flocks and your herds, right? You'll have goat's milk enough for you and your family and your servants. You'll have the goats as the price of the field, because your money will not carry you all the way to the end. Not necessarily. Reliance and trust in the fact that you have a trust fund, or you have a big house that's fully paid for, or you have all these things, you know, God will make that look foolish one day. But better to just trust in him, right? And we know that if we call on him, that he will hear us and that he will answer. And we've never seen, no matter how poor a background they've come from, we haven't seen the righteous begging for bread. You know, we get people who call in, especially around Christmas time, Thanksgiving, when those holidays really get rolling. And people, you know, they search Google Maps for like church, and then all the churches come up and they just start going through them, right? And hitting call. And they're calling us and they're saying, hey, you know, we're really struggling, and our heat's been turned off, and all this stuff is, you know, happening to us. And, you know, we need as much money as you can give us right away, kind of thing. And it's always a, it's got to happen right now situation, right? But, you know, the first thing that you need is Jesus. And so whenever we take these calls, you know, and if you're taking calls at Sojourner's Cafe, and you hear this, right? Like, you know what direction to go with it, right? PWT, personal witness training. The first thing they need is Jesus. They think the first thing they need is rent money, but the first thing they need is Jesus. If they, you know, I mean, I don't want to see anyone get tossed out in the street, but there are resources available for people in that situation. Like, no one in the Twin Cities, especially with, you know, just all the different programs and things that are out there in St. Paul, in Minneapolis specifically, nobody has to go hungry. Nobody has to go without a roof over their heads. Okay? A lot of people choose to. A lot of people choose to. Why do they choose to? You know, Alex Deputy and I, as part of his 2020 campaign, we went out. And, you know, this was the early days of COVID. There was a lot of, like, camps of people just, you know, along the highway or just all over the place, right? Took over park areas, took over off-ramps. And, you know, we went to these camps and we talked to people and we recorded them. And we were like, how can we get you away from here and somewhere where you have a roof over your head? Like, what needs to happen in your mind? Like, what do you not know that if you literally get on 7th Street and you just walk that way, you will run into the spot where they will help you? And some people clearly didn't want to talk, but they knew, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, a few people were just honest and they were like, look, I've been there. I've been there several times, but they don't let you drink there. So I'm not going back, you know? So it's like, there's resources out there. But anyway, back to, so people call, and you're like, well, first, you know, we give them the gospel. But second, it's like, man, like, what is your church doing for you? Oh, I don't go to church. Well, man, that's a bummer. Like, because people who come here, nobody leaves with an unmet need. But tell you what, like, if you come here, you know, you come to our church and, you know, you become a part of this body, you're a believer in Jesus. You know, we already talked about, you know, how to become a believer in Jesus, right? And have a relationship with God that makes you sure you'll go to heaven when you die. And man, we make sure everybody's needs are met here, you know, and we're giving money over here, we're giving money over there, like all these things. So like, there's your pathway. In all the calls that I've ever had with people like that, I haven't had one person actually come, you know? But they have more churches to call, so they can just keep going down the line, right? But this is the thing, you know, and this is something we're going to talk about later in the finance course, is like having discernment about who to give money to. Paul even talks about, like, we're going to give to widows who are widows indeed, right? If you've read that in, you know, in the letters of Paul, I can't remember which reference it is now, but like, you know, the people who are widows, but they have a lot of family around them. They've got sons, they've got daughters, they've got help. Let them, let their families help them so that the church can use all their resources on people who don't have a family or who don't have like anybody as far as support goes. So like, let's give generously, but also give wisely. You know, at the end of the day, it's like you go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through, 30. The point that Jesus is trying to make is there is enough. You have to have this mind shift, this attitude shift of like from there's not enough, there might not be enough. I need to get and keep everything that I can so that I can be safe, so that I can be secure, so that my family can eat. You need to move away from that mindset and into there is enough. There is enough resources in this world that God can make sure you and your family are provided for completely if you seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. All these things will be added unto you, right? So we don't have to be slaves to the urgency of needing to acquire, needing to save, needing to have more and more protection, higher and higher walls with our money, or with our time. Everything I've said about money, you could just insert the word time and you'd be in the exact same spot, right? Like, are we being generous? Are we willing to say, you know what? I've got all these things planned for today, but so-and-so is, moving, right? We all love to help people move, right? But like, or, someone needs help. I'm going to be generous with my time as well, right? And not let it be, 100% just about whatever it is my plans are. It's like Chuck Smith used to pray, Lord, here's my calendar. Here's everything I planned out to do. Now, if you want to change it, you change it. Okay? Or this attitude that Jesus had, let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. It's got enough things for itself, right? But you just think about today, and how can you seek first the kingdom of God today? Well, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for just the reminder that I needed, Lord, that I needed to go through. And I just pray that others here were hearing from your spirit and were blessed by this as well. But I just praise you and thank you, Lord God, that you are so faithful. And just like the rain that always comes, Lord, we know that we always have the things that we need from you. Maybe not everything our flesh desires, Lord, but all of our needs and even beyond, Lord, are met. And I just praise you and thank you for that. Help us to have open eyes to just the needs and the ways that we can build up the body and assist each other and come alongside each other. Praise you and thank you for our pastor. I pray that you bless him in this time away. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.